It's Let's Talk Legal on the Talk Station, FM 107.1. And, of course, we're joined by Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins normally, but today we have just Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. And as I begin the program, do remind you that the number to call, 252 area code 726-9050, or go online to harvellandcollins.com. Harvell and, spell out the word and, please, A-N-D, harvellandcollins.com. And with that, Cecil, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Lockwood. Here we are.
It's middle of October. My goodness. The year's practically over.
Yeah.
What is happening in the world of legal enterprise?
Well, Lockwood, let's today decipher, if you will, some of the types of deeds and contemporaneous with the deed comes the ownership in real property. One thing to say right out of the gate is that in the state of North Carolina, there is real property, mm-hmm. which is land, and many times clients will say, but I don't have a deed to my house, Mr. Harvell, and I say back, your house was an improvement on the land and therefore is a part of your deed. Any improvement, appurtenance is that famous legal word there too, fence, swimming pools, outdoor storage facilities, garages, all of these things become part and parcel of your real property. And real property begins with soil, land, okay? Now, just to say, it's either real property or all other property in the state of North Carolina is known as personal property. Being really what I'm saying, Lockwood, is there are only two types of property. It's either personal property or it is real property. Personal property can be stocks, bonds, IRAs, annuities, bank accounts, CDs. All of those fall into the category of personal property. So just to begin kind of an introduction today, we have real property and we have personal property.
Okay.
But you and me this afternoon are going to concentrate mostly on real property, okay?
So any improvements to my real estate automatically attaches to the real estate. And of course, in the process of a deed transfer, then those appurtenances, I think is the right term, those improvements transfer with that deed. So I can't, and of course, obviously, one of the things we look at is, outdoor buildings and things of this nature. So sometimes I know that in the transfer of the deed, the seller says, okay, I want to keep this, particular item. And of course, then it's either removed or is that require some sort of an addendum to the issue of transfer and the sale, things of that nature?
Well, I think what you're thinking about, and it does happen where let's say there's a fence or there's a garage,
right,
or there's a paved driveway and for, some reason or another through the decades of time, this improvement to the real property encroaches ever so slightly,
mm-hmm.
onto the other property, maybe even just inches or feet or whatever.
Right.
And then finally, when we go to sell our property, this encroachment, if you will, is discovered. And so, yes, Lockwood, we have to deal with those facts as they come forward, and there are lots of ways to resolve that kind of thing when it happens, but it does happen.
Okay.
Now, probably the most common, the most statistically high way in which people own property, Lockwood, is what's known as tenants in common. And this is can be really quite confusing. Tenants in common means that you have an interest in property with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
This is, of course, the way that properties are inherited. There are three children. They inherited the house a third, a third, and a third.
Mm-hmm.
They inherited the farm, a third, a third, and a third. They have what's known as an undivided interest. They have possession of the whole, which is interesting to say. They are allowed to possess the whole of the property, but yet they only have an ownership in their portion or their percentage. Now, this is why when property is owned, tenants in common, usually between family members, two sisters. I mean, I have this every single day. You know, just yesterday, a lady came in and we were doing her work for her and her trust. And she had completely forgotten that she owned a piece of property with her sister.
Uh-huh.
It's just been sitting there for years and years and years,
mm-hmm.
you know, down in Straits, beautiful part of Carteret County. They inherit it from their mother,
mm-hmm.
and it's just been a piece of property that's just the two sisters have just held on to.
Right.
And they own it tenants in common. Well, you know, Lockwood, that's okay, but now, you know, this particular client has got three children, and her sister's
right.
got two children. So the next thing you know, this property is going to be owned by five different
mm-hmm.
people. And so it is best when we own property, tenants in common, it really is best to try to come to some resolution about that, or certainly some organization. Maybe if the property is a beach cottage, a very important piece of property to the family, then let's place it in a family LLC with some control mechanisms so that when two people become five people, we can have someone in control, and we know who will pay the taxes and the insurance and the upkeep on the property. But again, Lockwood, as you can imagine, in the state of North Carolina, and our listeners are cluing in and saying, yes, 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 there is a lot of property owned tenants in common.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it passes according to a will or trust to my children per stirpes, meaning to my children, but if a child is not living, to the children of the deceased child.
Okay.
And or deed, a deed out to two business partners or two friends or any combination of all of those kinds of folks can own property, tenants in common. Another thing to say about tenants in common ownership is that we often have this happen where, say, three children own the property, and one of them, for some reason, you know, and I don't mean this in an unkind way, but the one thinks that they really own it. They own
right.
it to the exclusion of the other two, and they live in it, and they pay the taxes on it, and
mm-hmm.
they think they own it, you know, lock, stock, and barrel. Well, you know, that's not true, and that's going to be a problem down the line, and probably the sooner we deal with it, the better. The tenants in common person is not really a trespasser because, as I said early on, they have the right to be on the whole of the property, but there are certainly obligations that they have with regard to their responsibilities to the other co-tenants.
The thing that I'm thinking about is you're telling us this story about this information about, expanding of the family and then the possibility of these of the ownership of this property then being diluted by more and more people. The challenge is creating that entity, or I say the challenge, the necessity, creating that entity so that, for example, as you mentioned a moment ago, the care and management of the facility can be, observed and watched, but also it allows for the easier transfer. I can't imagine the work required that you or others have probably had to go through in cases where there are these multiple tenants in common and, multiple families, and finding every one of the living members of that of that group, it has to be very, very challenging. Has that happened? And have you dealt with that?
Oh yes, absolutely. We have a case right now in Onslow County with probably 100 different owners.
Oh my goodness!
And we can, you know, you run into all sorts of notice issues.
Right.
But but you have to, you know, we lawyers have to know how to deal with that, and there are ways to deal with it. And when you have a property on Onslow County that fronts on, you know, Highway 24 right in the commercial district, now worth, you know, $3, 4, 5, 7 million,
right,
it's time for those 100 people to come together.
It is. But finding them is a challenge too. We're talking with Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. We're talking about the issue of deeds, quite frankly, but I got sidetracked on that topic of tenants in common. All right, back to you on that, Cecil.
Now, another very common ownership is tenancy by entirety. Again, these are big words. I'm sorry, tenants in common, tenants by entirety. Nobody really knows what the heck they mean other than we lawyers.
Right.
And we, of course, you know, lay awake at night pondering these terms, I guess. The bottom line is that tenants by entirety is property owned between spouses in the state of North Carolina. And the questions that sometimes arise is that many deeds will say, you know, John Doe and wife Mary Doe.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they will say, you know, Mary Doe and husband John Doe.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Okay. The bottom line is that the deed is a deed between two people who, at the time of taking the title to the property, they are married. And the effect of this in the state of North Carolina is that there's an automatic right of survivorship, which means that if either spouse were to die, the surviving spouse, according to North Carolina law, it doesn't matter what the will says, doesn't matter what the trust says, it doesn't matter what they want it to be. The bottom line is if it is a tenants by entirety ownership, then the survivor is going to inherit that property upon the death of their spouse. Now, other issues that arise with this, just last week I had a nice young girl in, and she said someone in government, I think it was the tax office maybe, mm-hmm. not in Carteret County, but in some county, had told her that she needed to, that her father only owned half of the property because of the fact that it didn't say that they were married on the deed.
Uh-huh.
And she brought the deed, and the deed says John Doe and Mary Doe. It doesn't say that they're married. It doesn't say and wife or and husband or John Doe and Mary Doe, a married couple. It has nothing on the deed that would let someone know that these two people are married. I mean, John Doe and Mary Doe, you know, could be brother and sister. Okay? They could be father and daughter. But the bottom line is that she also had their marriage certificate, and at the time that they took title to this property, they were married. And so guess what, Lockwood? Tenants by entirety law attaches to that property, even though it does not on its face say the words husband or wife or spouse or anything like that. The bottom line is that because they were married
mm-hmm.
at the time that they took title to the property, it's tenants by entirety property. And so that's kind of an interesting twist on this, I always find. And that's right common. Sometimes people just don't put, you know, the and wife or and husband on the deed.
Okay, I'm going to throw a curve at you and ask a question here in relationship to possibly a failing marriage. And the husband and wife have possibly divorced. Yet the property was purchased by the husband and wife team years ago. What about those circumstances? Because then suddenly, you know, maybe family members are wondering, okay, the husband is saying that he's no longer, you know, the wife is no longer ownership of the property, or vice versa. What happens in those instances?
Yeah, well, that's a great factual situation to present, Lockwood. And the bottom line is that when folks become divorced, there is a severance of the tenants by entirety, and the property becomes tenants in common.
Okay.
Now, most folks, we hope, have developed a separation agreement, if you will, and have addressed this property. We all know that almost all of the time, that's what happens in terms of a divorce, is that folks reach a property settlement agreement,
mm-hmm.
and they address the issue with regard to their home, their home place, or maybe their beach house,
right.
or maybe other property that they own. Maybe the wife has a commercial building that she, you know, is a physician in,
mm-hmm.
whatever the case might be. The bottom line is the property settlement agreement addresses that, and then their cross-claim deeds to each other to get the property aligned with
okay.
their separation agreement. But if that does not happen and they just simply are divorced,
mm-hmm.
then the property automatically is no longer with survivorship rights. It is tenants in common. And as I alluded to before, but I don't know that I was as clear as I could have been, a tenants in common interest, Lockwood, passes according to the estate of the deceased.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, it doesn't go to survivorship. To three brothers inherit a property, a third, a third, a third, tenants in common. If one of the brothers dies, that doesn't mean that that third goes to the other two brothers. That third goes into the estate of the deceased brother and goes according to his will, if he hopefully
wow.
has one. And if he doesn't, then it goes according to the laws of the state of North Carolina. It doesn't automatically go to the other tenants in common.
Right.
So very, very different than a tenants by entirety deed, a deed where folks were married at the time that they took title to the property. That has a presumption of survivorship, and that's the way the law will interpret that. So this lady that was in the office with this deed that said her daddy and her mother but didn't make any allusion to the fact that they were married, she had the marriage certificate. And fortunately, she was just thrilled. I was able to tell her that, yes, absolutely, when your mother died, this went to your father. Your father owns the property completely, 100%, based on the presumption of survivorship of a deed that was prepared at the time that they were married. Title was taken during a moment in time when they were legally married. And so that's a good thing to know. And it comes up quite often, actually.
I can imagine it does. We're talking again with Cecil Harvell of Harvell & Collins. And I do want to remind you, if you have any questions about this or any of the other items we've been discussing over the past months, actually years, don't hesitate to give them a call. 252 area code 726-9050, 726-9050. I've got another question in relationship to that, but I'll get to it in a few minutes in case you have other items you were bringing up related to deeds, Cecil.
Well, this is somewhat of a hybrid. You can create a deed between tenants and common owners and specifically put language in the deed that says that my title in the property passes to my co-tenant with right of survivorship. You can add that to the deed and make it expressly a survivorship deed, but that has to be absolutely clear, convincing, and express in the deed. If there is no language to that effect, then as we just said, Lockwood, the property is going to pass to the estate of the tenants in common owner who happened to die. And that's how these properties, like the one in Onslow County that I mentioned, you know, ends up with 100 owners, okay? Because, you know, initially there were five or seven children. They all have had another three or four. Then they die. Then there's three or four more. And it's just passing down the family with more and more and more owners all of a sudden involved in the property.
I can't imagine the dilution that's taking place in that case. And, of course, I go back to the question I asked earlier, and that, of course, is how do you find all of these remaining owners, and many of them moving far away, possibly totally disconnected to the family at various times. So that is a real challenge for the for both the estate management and, you know, trying to sell the property, and the buyer's agent who's trying to arrange for the conclusion of the transfer of that property.
That's exactly right. And so so that is kind of a hybrid in terms of they're not these tenants in common, brothers or sisters or even business partners, you know, are not married, of course, but the bottom line is that they've had a deed prepared whereby they say that if anything happened to one of us, we want our co-tenant to inherit the property with right of survivorship. And we can prepare a deed such as that when requested to do so.
Well, I would think that that is something that you approach with very great caution. Because of the ability to further dilute this. I want to go back to a one quick question for you, and this actually is related to that, and that is in the cases of, a blended family. And let's say a husband and wife marry, they have children by previous issue, and they purchase property together. And you know, we have the situation where the husband and wife are happily married for 20 years, but one of them dies. The problem then is that, if I understand this correctly, the mother or the father, the surviving spouse, takes ownership of the property and by that matter can then distribute the property directly to their children, probably at the, ignoring the children of the other spouse, the deceased spouse. Is there a structure for protecting that situation?
Well, absolutely there is, Lockwood, and that is an issue that has to be looked at carefully during the estate planning conferences of a client with those kinds of facts. And it's critically important that those pieces of the puzzle get put on the table and then put back together again in a way in which the client intends them to be. Another twist on those, which is a very common one, quite frankly, is that, yes, the people get married again.
Right.
With children from their prior marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And the property is just titled in one of the spouse's name, which, as you would think, is very typical. There's mom and dad. Mom, unfortunately, dies in her 40s or 50s or 60s, tragically, with cancer. The husband continues to live. He owns the property now completely.
Right.
And then at 70 years old or 75, he decides to remarry, owning the property in his sole name.
Right.
Correct? Right. Well, this becomes their marital home place. His new wife, they're married for 10, 15, 20 years. She puts money into the property. And then he dies. And because that property was never retitled or addressed in a comprehensive estate plan, it now very likely passes to an interest in it, that is, passes to his children. And that's not what they wanted to happen. This has become their marital home.
Right.
And the wife, the new wife, that is, has invested significantly in this property. And so now here we are. And so I have that file in my office right now.
Wow.
It's very typical of folks. This is what we say, Lockwood, and then I know we've got to conclude. Any kind of significant event in your life, a death in the family, mm-hmm. a divorce, a remarriage, a birth of a child, the death of a child. You know, Lockwood, these don't happen to us, fortunately, every single day.
Right.
These are these big events in life, you know. And when these big events happen, divorce, remarriage, death of a spouse, death of a child, that's when you need to dust off your documents and have them reviewed again by your good lawyer.
Many instances, I would think that you're helping a client and in the process having to work through failed paperwork or paperwork that wasn't completed or, for that matter, never even considered by other members of the program. This is an important issue. It's the details, is it not?
Yeah, it's the details. And also, let's don't make assumptions, okay?
Right, right.
So many folks just think that because we're married, therefore my spouse inherits everything. That's not true. That depends. And the depends is in the details of the pieces of the puzzle that you put together. The file that I just mentioned, you know, she mentions the fact that she thought, her husband thought, and they thought that this property would go to her mm-hmm. because she had been living in this property for 20 or 25 years with him. And they assumed that when he died, it would go to her. Oh. Well, the devil is in the details, and it didn't go to her. A portion of it went to her, but the other portion went to his children from a prior marriage.
We're talking about deeds, and of course, this is an important item, one of the most important items and possessions that individuals have, and that's property, real property, as we were talking about a few moments ago as we opened the program with Cecil Harvell of Harvell & Collins. And remember that number, 252 area code 726-9050. The devil is in the details, as he said just a moment ago, when it comes to possession of property. And I think, as he pointed out, there's real property and the state has specific standards and assumptions, if you will, of a survivorship and things of this nature. Don't hesitate to give the folks at Harvell & Collins a call. It is a simple phone call, 252 area code 726-9050, or go online to harvellandcollins.com.